Open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Genesis. And I'd like you to go back to chapter 37, please. Israel continues to be in the news. Israel continues to be the focus of everything, actually. And we're living in those days where we hear news all the time from the Middle East. Tonight we have, of course, over 100,000 of our troops are in Iraq. They're very close to Iran. Iran continues to be a problem in the world, a problem that's going to have to be resolved in some fashion. But they're saying to Israel, if you attack us, we've got chemical weapons, and America's troops are a very close distance from us. And there's wars and rumors of wars every day, aren't there? And so we need to continue to pray for Israel, pray for our own troops that are close to Iran, and the threat that they hold is very real. But I'd like us to look at chapter 37, and I'd like us to look at the story of Joseph tonight. And verse number 1, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bila, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. And behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeyance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeyance unto me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and my mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the sayings. And let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight that we have your word, and I pray that you would help us as we discover your truths tonight, as we consider the nation of Israel. Help us, Lord, to pray for her peace and to also pray for your coming. And we ask you, Lord, to bless the study tonight, and we will give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting that Joseph's father showed favoritism, and when this happened, is the brothers of Joseph envied him. Someone said, sometimes flesh and blood hates that which grace affects and loves. Perhaps Joseph responded to his father's love more than the others did. But in any event, there was family issues, that's for sure. But you know, when someone's heart is filled with hatred, when they speak, there is no peace in their speech. Nothing but bitterness and scorning. Envy always divides. And the Bible says that charity envieth not. Amen? When our hearts were filled with love, there's no room for envy. If someone's full of envy, they can't rejoice in another's successes. The Bible says to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. And so here we find a family that's having some difficulty. The brothers of Joseph are filled with envy. And Joseph is favored amongst his parents. And we find that Joseph's brethren rejected him. And this is a picture of Israel. Joseph's brethren is a picture of Israel to the Savior. In verse number 4 of chapter 37, when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And then in verse number 18 of the same chapter, we read these words, "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him." And it's an interesting story. When the opportunity arose, Joseph's brothers decided that this is the time they're going to get even with their brother. They're going to get even for all the things that he had said and all of the dreams that he had told them about. And their envy and their jealousy just built up and built up, and then the opportunity arose. You know, that's the way sin works. Sin always improves with age. Sin has to be dealt with, otherwise it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's where what happened with envy in this family. It rose and arose, and then when an opportunity came, they decided that they were going to do something about it. And we find that they cast him in a pit in verse number 24. If you notice, verse number 23 and 24. "And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it." And so his brethren hated him, and his brethren rejected him. And that's what Israel did to the Lord Jesus Christ. They hated Christ and they rejected Christ. The Bible says they hated me without a cause. I'd like you to look at John chapter 15, please, in verse number 25, as we consider this comparison of Joseph's brethren. John chapter 15 and verse number 25. "But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled, that it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." What did Jesus do to deserve the hatred and the scorn of the religious leaders and the people of Israel? He didn't do anything, did he? The Bible said he went about doing good. The Bible said that his ministry was one of miracles and good works, and yet they hated him without a cause. They also took counsel to put him to death in John chapter 11 and verse number 53. And this is similar to Joseph's brethren. They conspired against him. And they planned what they were going to do to him. In John chapter 11, verse number 53, "Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples." And so, as the scripture says, that the religious leaders took counsel to put him to death. And this is just like Joseph's brethren. They were deciding that we're going to get even with this guy. The day's going to come, we're going to get even with him. And, of course, we know that Christ was crucified. They crucified him. And I'd like you to look at Matthew chapter 27, verse number 35, please. "And there they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." Yes, Joseph's brethren hated him. They rejected him. They conspired against him. They threw him in a pit. And as the story continues in Genesis, they sold him. That's one of the illustrations I want to share with you tonight. Secondly, Joseph's brethren, they didn't realize that as years went by, 20 years went by, Joseph was still a slave in Egypt, but God was blessing him and God exalted him. And the sons of Israel had come during the great famine, but they didn't know that not only was he alive, but they didn't know that he was in exalted position in Egypt. And I'd like you to look at Genesis chapter 42 as we continue studying about Joseph's brethren, chapter 42, and verses 5 through 8. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land. God had exalted him. God had not only spared him, but God's blessing was upon him. And he was only second in all the land of Egypt under the Pharaoh. And it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Here was the fulfillment of a dream he had as a young boy. Remember, he said, "You're going to bow down to me." And here it is. They don't know who he is. His presence is hid from their face. They have no idea that this is their little brother Joseph. And yet the Bible says that Israel is blinded now. They're blinded to the exaltation of Christ. They think that Christ was dealt with on the cross, Jesus, the one that claimed to be the Messiah. They thought that's the end of him. They have no idea right now that he is exalted, that he is sitting at the right hand of God Almighty. They have no idea that he is the great high priest of every believer. They have no idea that he is exalted and coming again one day. Yes, the nation Israel does not know that Christ is alive. In Romans chapter 11 and verse number 25, we have these words. "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become." So Israel as a nation is blinded right now spiritually as to who the Messiah really is. But God is not through with Israel, amen? As a nation, God is not through with them as a people. They are very much the center of all things in God's mind and God's heart. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15, we have these words. "But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart." There is a veil upon the heart of Israel. For they right now are blinded to the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet God has exalted him. The Bible says that he is exalted above every name. And one day every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So just as Joseph's brothers didn't know that he was doing well, he was alive and exalted to a high position. Right now as a nation, they are blinded as well spiritually. But one day they're going to be saved as a nation completely when the Lord comes back. An entire nation saved as Jesus comes back. Yes, during this famine, Joseph's brethren were coming to Egypt to buy food to be preserved, so their life would be preserved. In Genesis chapter 42, they carried corn from Egypt to get them through that famine. And Joseph was preserving them, and they were unaware of who he was. It's an interesting story. He played like he didn't know them, and yet he knew them. And he brought them into his house and sat them down for a meal and asked them questions about their father and asked them questions about the children. And he didn't reveal himself to them. 20 years had gone by. He knew them. They didn't know him. And yet he preserved their life and gave them corn and gave them food and sent them on their way. God loves Israel tonight. He's not through with Israel. He has a special plan for Israel. And one day he's going to reveal himself to them, that's for sure. The Bible says this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. The generation that sees Israel come back into the land, back into that holy land, will not pass away till everything is fulfilled concerning Israel. Well, Israel's been a nation since what, 1948? They're still hanging in there. Right now, they're preparing for war. They're on a high state of alert. Their borders are dug in. Their perimeters are set. Their soldiers are there. Families have gas masks, and they have air raid shelters in their homes. And every day, it's a living reality of war there. Just as Joseph's brethren were preserved by Joseph, Israel is preserved right now. No one's going to push them off the map, that's for sure. Joseph's brethren were led to repentance. In chapter 42 and verse number 7 of Genesis, Joseph starts being a little bit cruel to them. He starts being rough with them. He still hasn't revealed himself to them yet. Chapter 42, verse number 7. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. Couldn't you see this big, you see this brother dealing with his brothers like that? Speaking rough to them, scaring them a little bit. I mean, he had, let's face it, he had that coming, amen? I mean, they weren't very nice to him. You can't blame him for that. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. Amen. Let's go down to verse number 14. And Joseph said unto them, that is it that I spake unto you, saying, you are spies. Hereby you shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go forth hence except your youngest brother come here. I think you're spies. I think you've come to spy out the land. He's really scaring them now. He's getting even. He says, I want to see if you're lying to me about your younger brother. And he says in verse 16, send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and you shall be kept in prison. He's really enjoying this. He's not going to hurt them, but he's going to scare them. That your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. And he put them all together in the ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. He's playing with them. He's playing with them, that's for sure. And verse number 21 of the same chapter. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, and that we saw the anguish of his soul. They say, we got what's coming to us. God is dealing with us because of what we did 20 years ago to our brother. When he besought us, and we would not hear, therefore is this distress coming to us. And they're dealing with the guilt of their past. You know, sin always brings guilt, doesn't it? 20 years have gone by, and they're disturbed over how they treated their brother, and they thought that he was dead and that they were responsible for taking his life. And now they're saying, this is why we're in jail. This is why Providence has not smiled on us. It's because of what we did back there. But aren't you glad when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, he deals with all of those issues of life. He can take away the guilt. Amen? He casts our sin behind his back. And every day, we can get a fresh cleansing of his Holy Spirit. And he hides sin. God is very good at hiding sin. Amen? If man hides it, doesn't do a good job. But because of the power of the blood, God can hide our past. He can hide our mistakes. And if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Yes, Joseph's brethren were led to repentance through affliction. And the nation of Israel is going to be led to repentance through affliction. Right now, they're being afflicted. Right now, but God is dealing with them before he reveals himself to them. It's the same with Joseph. Joseph knew he was going to reveal himself to his brothers, but he still wanted to deal with them. He still wanted to challenge them. He still wanted to afflict them. And right now, Israel is being afflicted. Yes, one day that's all going to end. Joseph was letting them suffer a little bit, knowing that he would reveal himself to them in the near future. You know, I think about Israel right now, how true that is of them. in the very near future, the Savior is going to reveal himself to them, perhaps soon. And that's going to be quite a day. In Genesis chapter 45, Joseph decides the time has come. I'm going to show them who I really am. Verse number 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. They were totally shocked. I mean, they were so surprised they didn't know what to say. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Can you imagine how they felt? Here's this person that's been dealing roughly with them, and now he shows them that he is their brother. And he's standing before them and saying, I'm your brother, I'm the one you sold, and here I am. Verse 5, now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. If anyone had a reason to be bitter, it was Joseph. If anyone had a reason to be discouraged all those 20 years, it would be Joseph. If anyone had a reason to just shut the door on life and say, I've just been dealt a bad hand and nothing can come from my life, it could have been Joseph. But Joseph kept his eyes on the Lord. And God blessed Joseph in that faraway land. And God elevated him and God blessed him. And God preserved his life. You know, God can bless you, young people, wherever you are. It doesn't matter what kind of deal you got. It doesn't matter if you thought you've been dealt a bad hand. God can bless you wherever you are. And that's what happened here. Joseph reveals himself. And they are shocked. They are totally beside themselves. And they're troubled at his presence. I mean, they are afraid until he comforts them. And he shares with them that he still is not angry with them. He weeps and he cries. And then they all weep at that reunion. And the Bible says that when the Lord reveals himself to Israel, there's going to be weeping that has never been heard before. It's going to be so heart-wrenching that everyone is going to be beside themselves when they see this, the scars in his hands and his feet and his side. They're going to be beside themselves. In Zechariah chapter 12 and verse number 10, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced and shall mourn for him. And that mourning will last. It's not going to go away right away. They're going to really be sorry and they're going to be heartbroken. And that's all they're going to be able to do is cry. Did you ever cry so hard and so long that there were no more tears left? You know, sometimes it's good to have a good cry. It's God's way of trying to get those emotions all out of your system. Amen? Well, that's what's going to happen to Israel one day when the Lord comes back to deliver them. There's going to be wailing and weeping, and as they see his hands, and as they see his feet, and as they see his side, and they're going to realize what has really taken place through all the generations. And so as Joseph's brethren finally had Joseph revealed to them, one day Jesus is going to reveal himself to all of Israel. Right now they're blinded. Right now they're being afflicted. They have been for 2,000 years. They've been afflicted. They've gone through a lot. They were almost exterminated in World War II. And now they're perhaps in the final days of the church age as nations are taking sides against them. Isn't it interesting that a country that's fairly new, not even mentioned in the Bible, has been their ally for 50 years. And then because of the United States of America, they have not been pushed into the sea. Amen? God has his own way of bringing things to pass. for his honor and glory. Joseph's brethren were given special favor after that he revealed himself to them. They were so happy. So go back home, tell our father what has happened, and bring our father and all your families here, and I will take care of everything. I'll give you the choicest of land. We're going to have a wonderful time. You know that, speaking about that millennial reign of Christ, amen, that 1,000 years where Jesus will rule and reign from Jerusalem. And Genesis chapter 47 and verse number 11, he gave them the choicest land. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of the Ramses. A land in the land of the Ramses as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore. But he takes care of them. He gave them the very best of land. It's interesting when Joseph revealed himself to his brethren. He says, now you go and tell the good news that I'm alive. Amen. Go tell them I am alive. I'm not dead. You know, the apostles preached that message back in the early days of the church age. It went all over the known world, preaching that message that Jesus is alive. And because of their lives, you know, we're still here with that same mandate. We owe a lot to the Jewish people. We owe a lot to the apostles, those 12 that gave their lives and spread that message around the known world. We're walking on a bridge that they have built with their very life. Amen? Oh, when we start to feeling sorry for our problems, and don't get me wrong, we all have problems. You know, God sees everything. He sees the future as if it's already there. Thank God for the Lord Jesus. Thank God for his promises. One day we're going to look back and our light affliction is going to seem like a small thing when we get home. Amen. But until then, the songwriter said, my heart shall go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the Savior. Until the day God calls me home. Joseph's brethren bowed in adoration to him in chapter 50. I wonder, as they did they remember the dream that their little brother told them in chapter 50, verses 18 and 19. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. And that's the story also of the gospel, isn't it? Satan meant to do evil. God allowed it for good. Because without the crucifixion of Christ, there'd be no redemption for the world. There'd be no atonement for the sins of man. And so, thank the Lord that God brought all of this to pass. And they bow down in adoration before him. And the nation of Israel shall bow in adoration before the Lord Jesus one day. Luke chapter 1 says he shall reign over the house of Jacob. Philippians 2 says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, I believe that God would have his church to pray for Israel in these days. That is a charge to all of us, to pray for Israel, pray for their peace, and pray for the coming of the Lord. John, in the book of Revelation, he said, even come, so Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you, Lord, that in a crazy world of uncertainty, that you have a plan. And Father, we know that One of these days that trumpet's going to sound. One of these days that you're going to call the church away without warning. Every redeemed soul will be caught up to meet you. And then we're going to come back with you, Lord, as Israel prays for the Messiah. We pray for Israel tonight, Lord, that you would protect them. We pray, Father, that you would bring peace to that place, that special place. And we pray, Father, you'd help us to carry on as a church to carry out your commission, your great commission. We pray, Father, you bless our faith promise for the new year, that we'd be able to help to spread the gospel to many places. And we pray you bless our church families in a special way, to keep your eyes upon you and to be not weary in well-doing. For your word says, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Pray that you'd bless our fellowship tonight and our time together. We thank you also for the refreshments, and we ask that you bless the hands that prepared it, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.